Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for joining us today. And just a note for you, you can now catch our show on your schedule. It's the Coffee Break Podcast. You can find us at coffeebreak959.podbean.com. There's also a link at the top of our website, kcap.com. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn. We're out there, and joining us in here, it's Lewis and Clark County Fairgrounds Manager Kevin Tenney. I can't even say your name. It's been so long. And it's a weird week. It's Tuesday, but it's Thursday. It's been a while since we chatted. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. I've had to send people in for me the last couple months. So, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming back in this month.
Oh, no. Thanks for having me.
We've gotten a few hints of winter, but they've been fleeting. And that's sort of impacted your plans out there at the fairgrounds, because we had something set for this weekend, and now it's just not going to work out, right?
Right. We were scheduled for our second annual Last Chance Ski Joring event. And obviously, ski joring, we need some snow.
Right.
But we've got a little dusting the other day, but we need a good 4 to 6 inches to hold that event.
Yeah, and it just didn't stick around. We got a little bit, and it blew around, and the weather warmed up, and most of it's gone now.
Yeah, it's gone, but we're still working with the committee and hoping that we get some snow here soon so we can hold the event. I mean, people had a blast last year, and I think people were looking forward to it. So you got to find a timing company that can come in. You have your announcers available, and there's so many other races around Montana.
Right.
It's hard, because even if you pick a weekend it's available, there's no guarantee for snow, but we're holding out hope.
So do we have a tentative date that you're like, hey, here's the date, and we're just hoping we get snow, or are you just waiting for the snow and then you'll figure it out after that?
Tentatively, we're looking the last weekend in January, but we still haven't confirmed a timing company yet. So, but tentatively, that's what we're shooting for. Hopefully, we can make that work with snow and then all the other factors that go with it.
And I know sort of that initial thought by a lot of people is probably, well, why don't they just go get a snowmaking machine? The ski hills do it. Why can't? But that's not a cheap process.
No, we looked into it last year last year, day before Christmas, we had zero snow out there. And we were fretting that we weren't going to be able to do it. Then it didn't stop snowing till like March or April. So we didn't have that problem, but we looked into it, and it's not cost feasible to be able to do it. But it was an idea that we looked into for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be frustrating, but you kind of know going in that this is an event that's just dependent on something you can't control.
Yeah, absolutely. And we knew that going in, but so now we're just holding out hope.
So where's the best place for people to go to find out when or if this is actually going to happen?
I would go to the Last Chance Ski Joring Facebook page. That's where we keep the updates going, and that plus then all our great sponsors can be seen. But we keep that page updated daily.
So hopefully we'll just keep our fingers crossed.
It'll happen.
Last time you were here, we were also talking about the Stampede. You know, I know it feels pretty far away for most of us, but for you, it pretty much starts the day after the Stampede finishes. You start working on the next one. And you've got our night show put together, it sounds like.
We do. I can't tell you who it is.
We can't say anything yet.
I'm hoping to announce at the end of January, 1st of February, but we are trying something a little different this year. We've always generally had a local regional act as an opener, play for 30 minutes, and then you have your headline show, play for 75 to 90 minutes. This year we actually brought in two national acts, and it'll be a co-headline show. So both acts will play a full 75 to 90 minute show. So you're looking at, you know, three and a half hours of music.
Yeah. Does that change? Are you looking at time changes then? Because it's going to be a longer set overall.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to bump it up, but not much, maybe a half hour, start time and gates and stuff like that. But, we're trying to hit, multiple markets with this music as far as age goes. Mm-hmm. We believe we have one that fits in that icon section of music. And then we got a younger band, that, is hot on the charts right now. A lot of recent hits, but might appeal to that younger crowd.
So there's your hints, folks. We can't say much more. But you did have a list early on. Said, hey, here's some of the acts we're looking at. Are they folks off that list?
Both
people can get on there and do their sleuthing.
Both acts were on that list.
Okay, so get on the Facebook page, scroll back a while, and find that list, and find somebody new, find somebody old, and we'll see what it looks like. But yeah, it sounds like it does. Does that change ticket pricing at all?
We're gonna stick. We've always been around $40 to $45, and we'll stick with that price.
Okay. So that's going to be a great ticket for two headline acts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be something that I know Helena is notoriously slow. We talk about it all the time about picking up tickets. But this might be one that folks want to jump on just a little bit early if they want to get the seats that they want.
Right. And the way I see it is those that will want to see the older act, and they're not old. They're,
sure.
But we're talking 20 number one hits. I mean, it's a big name, but I see them filling up the grandstands pretty quick. And then the other act, I see that floor in the arena filling up pretty quick. So this year, I don't know if I'd wait.
Yeah. Get in on that quick. Don't do the normal Helena thing. Don't get it the day before, swing by there. Don't get it the night of and stand in line. Let's get out there, and it helps you out because you get your tickets and you get where you want to be on the floor or wherever you want to be, and helps Kevin out. He actually knows how many people are going to be showing up. So we've got the doubleheader there, and your other biggie is Springfest. What's happening there? You still working on getting an act in for that?
Still working. We have a couple options. We've had a couple offers that we put in. We did have a three-pack with Restless Heart, Shenandoah, and Blackhawk, and we thought that was going to be our Springfest act, but then they backed out on us. They changed the direction of their routing.
Okay.
And that came at a later date, so it kind of hurt us a little bit. So now we're shopping around. Unfortunately, the industry's shut down for the holidays. They don't open up again until January 7th. So we'll get back at it next week and try to secure top act.
Okay. And you're also looking for some input from the public on the possibility of bringing a rock show to town. It seems like you did the same sort of thing on your Facebook page and said, hey, here's a group of folks. What do you think? Who would you like to see in terms of rock? And it looks like, I mean, you're pushing like 700 comments on there. You're getting pretty decent response from folks saying, yeah, we get the country shows, but we never get a rock show. We'd like to see that here.
Yeah, and the response on that post is bigger than any responses we've ever got. It was crazy. I can tell you, June 29th, we one or multiple acts offers have been made from that list.
Okay.
And we're looking at going all day, starting, say, noontime and going into the evening. The list that we put out there were what was available at that time. It wasn't just random names we threw out there. We said, who's available and what can we do? So right now, tentatively, we're scheduled for June 29th. The offers have been made, but I can say if this goes off, we need Helena to support it.
Right.
Because that's all I hear is, why don't you ever bring rock? This is the chance to show that rock belongs here. But if it doesn't sell.
Right. If nobody shows up, it doesn't make sense to try it again.
Right. Right. And it's going to be a relatively inexpensive ticket for an all day rock fest. We're looking at about $60. And they're top acts. And yeah, we're just, if the offers are accepted, if they're not, we're going to have to look at another date.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't take the offers, because I mean, it's a bidding war sometimes with these acts. And if someone comes in and throws 10 grand more, they're going to take that.
Sure.
So yeah, it's all tentative, but we want to bring something new to Helena, and we think this is a good way to do it.
So when are we looking at finding out some specifics about that? I mean, it's the same thing as you said. Everybody's kind of shut down for a little bit.
Right.
But then once they start actually looking at offers and responding to folks, how long does that take? When are we going to find out, hey, these folks are coming to town?
Sometimes it's a week. Sometimes it's a month. It really varies how many offers. I do know that another town in Montana has put in offers on some of them. So we're actually, I guess, bidding against other towns in Montana.
And
so,
these are, I mean, if folks haven't seen the list, there's some big names. I mean, I'm trying to remember on there, Blink 182, Dropkick Murphys, I think was on there. Nickelback, I mean, that's a love it or hate it situation. Yeah. There. But there's some big names on that list.
Right. And like a Nickelback, we would have to do a one-off show that we couldn't do an all-day festival with them, just at their price range. We're limited. It'll be in our west parking lot. It's not going to be in the grandstands. It's going to be a festival style. We've lost out on a couple because they took offers after we were given their names. Then they come back and say, nope, they just took a booking somewhere else. So, but the ones that we offered are in the top four of comments on Facebook, maybe top six.
Yeah.
I might have given too much, so now I'm going to change that up. They were in the list.
Right.
So
get on there, check that out, and get on the Facebook and let them know what you think, because this is a big deal. And like Kevin said, if folks don't get out and support this thing doesn't work. Right. So let them know who you want to show up. Let them know then when they do show up that you actually support them and you're not just, oh, that would be neat, and then you move on with your day. Before we run out of time, Kevin, you're looking to make a hire right now. It's for indoor fair coordinator. What is that, and who is that job for?
So a lot of people associate the indoor fair with the carnival, or the fair with the carnival. Mm-hmm. It's not. The fair is all those arts and crafts and quilts and food that you see in the exhibit hall during the fair. We have a indoor fair committee. We need an overall coordinator to work with that committee to put it together. And it's the last chance Stampede and Fair. Our current coordinator resigned. She's been with us for years. She wants to do something else at the fair. She's just tired. But we need that position filled. We don't have enough staff to do it. And it's a huge part of the last chance Stampede and Fair. So if anyone is interested, you can call the office at 457-8516 and we can give you more details. You get lots of perks. Go to the rodeo, go to the concert, you know, and spend the week at the fair.
And you get to hang out with Kevin Tenney.
Yeah, exactly.
We get to hang out with him once a month for about 15 minutes, but you'd get to hang out with him quite a bit more than that. That's not a bad deal.
Yeah, and it entails one meeting a month with our steering committee, and we just start discussing things and getting it laid out.
Kevin, thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for giving us the breadcrumbs. Now people can go online and follow them and see if they can figure out the puzzle.
Let us hear it.
But, hopefully some announcements coming soon. Kevin Tenney with the Fairgrounds. Thanks for coming in today. I appreciate it. We've got Carrie Gagner coming in with Exploration Works. She's waiting in the wings for Coffee Break on News Radio 95, KCAP. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. It's brought to you by News Radio 95, KCAP. Now, back to the show. Welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around and finishing out the show today. Carrie Gagner with Exploration Works. She's the Marketing and Visitor Services Director. That's a huge title.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
and a much easier title to spit out. Exhibits Manager, Matt Jetty. Matt's in joining us today. He's her new sidekick. I'm struggling today.
It's all right. More coffee.
It's the holiday weeks are weird. Big things happening out at Exploration Works, as usual, right? There's always something going on out there. You've been running an exhibit on engineering for a bit now. How's that been going?
Really well. We're looking to wrap that up. We'll be closing on Sunday. After Sunday, it's okay. 5 p.m.
We had a great response from our local civil engineering firms. There were a bunch of them that really wanted to be involved, and we got their projects up on the wall, and we've got a good response from the local community.
Yeah, and like everything out there at your place, it's always very much hands-on, but people have just a couple more days to get in there and check that out because you've got a new exhibit on the way. You're going to teach us about electricity, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, I mean, and this one's pretty cool. Electricity, probably something that all of us just and we just take for granted, right? It's just there, especially kids. They just grow up and there's electricity and that's what runs my iPad and that's how it works.
Well, yeah, that's the tricky part is it's invisible for the most part. Right. You don't see inside your wall and you don't really know what's going on. So it'll be a fun way for kids and grownups to learn about what's going on in there.
Yeah, I need to go in there and learn as well. This is an interesting one because I think we can all get in there and learn about, you know, I was saying right before the show, I know a little bit about AC and DC and the differences between the two. And, you know, that was Edison and Tesla, and they had a fight back and forth. That's actually really interesting. I don't know if you go into that at all.
Well, there's one sign about it, and it's George Westinghouse partnered with Tesla, and they were the AC team. Mm-hmm. And then Edison and J.P. Morgan were the DC team. And AC eventually won out because it travels better. That was kind of the deciding factor of who won that battle. Was you can have a power plant far away with AC and not so much with DC.
Yeah, I only know a little bit, but I know AC, they won because AC can be transmitted, like you said, a very long distance at a high voltage. And then it's easy to reduce that into a smaller voltage to get into individual homes and businesses. And that's what those big transformers.
Yeah, and we're going to Northwestern Energy gave us a transformer. So you can go and see one up close, and we're going to slice it open, and so you can look inside.
So when those things get hit by lightning or something and blow up, that's why it blows up. And there's a lot of voltage going into those things.
Yeah, it's high voltage in, and then it's the lower voltage that goes into your house that comes out of there. And that usually goes underground.
Right. So it's a lot of cool stuff. And you've got, you gave me a list of some of the stuff that's going on. I mean, we're even talking about making static electricity because, I mean, that's part of it too. That's a form of electricity.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what lightning is. And we have this generator that it's called a Van de Graaff generator. And you crank it and then you zap your dad and laugh.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fun.
Yeah. No, that's all you need.
Yeah.
That could be the exhibit, and I'd be good with that.
Yeah.
So what else is going on in this thing? Because electricity is a big topic. I mean, you could take this in many different directions. What else are we going to learn through this thing?
Yeah, we tried to keep it simple because, solar power and there's electrical efficiency is in the news and it's important. But we're starting out with atoms and electrons and the very basics of motors and generators and just the basics of electricity and trying to make that visible or like come alive for kids.
Well, and there's you have a bike, right, that you can generate electricity through pedaling the bike as well?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the lesson there is that electricity is made with spinning magnets. Like, you know, the rivers spin a magnet and wind turbines spin a magnet and you can ride a bike and spin a magnet and make electricity.
Right. Which then you have the electromagnet too, which also can do, I mean, there's lots of little spider webs off of this thing. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot you can do with electricity. We didn't go into electronics, but that's a whole nother field about, you know, changing electrons and there's so much you can do with it.
Well, and you partnered up with Northwestern Energy for this, right? They're kind of helping you put this all together. What does that relationship look like?
Well, we asked them for help with it, and they have the experts and the money, basically, to help us out with this. And they've been great with they've let us use their print shop for signs. And I visited their yard, and we looked at transformers and the equipment they have, and they've been awesome helping us out with this.
And they're doing something with – they've got new LED streetlight stuff going in. Is that part of this as well?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have examples of the old streetlights. And it's a new project. It's a huge project all across Montana. And it's a cool one. They're changing all of the old streetlights to the new LED streetlights. And that's all over Montana. And it's a huge power savings when it's done. It's a huge project for the workers, too. But Helena is where it's starting. So we're kind of the guinea pigs. Yeah, we're the guinea pigs for this thing. But it's, you know, it's beneficial for the whole state, really.
And so we'll get to sort of get a look inside that project and see what it's about and how they're going about that.
Yep. Yep. We'll have examples and some signage for that. And it'll be cool for the kids to see, hey, you know, kids, your streetlights are changing, you know, and this is how they're different.
Yeah, very cool. And this all starts, it's going in, you've got a few more days of the engineering stuff, and then you have to close down a little bit because this isn't just slide a couple things into a closet and slide a few things out. This is a big... big project,
if
right?
If only it were that easy, right, Matt? Right.
Yeah, it takes a U-Haul and a bunch of people and a few days to take care of this.
So you're closed down, is it Monday through Wednesday next week?
Yes, that's right? Correct. Okay. So we'll be open on Sunday, our usual hours, noon to 5. And then at 5 o'clock, we go gangbusters and get ready for the next exhibit. And we open again on Thursday, January 10th at 10 a.m. So it's really exciting.
And then everybody can get in and find out just how that power gets into their house. They can ride a bike and they can shock people.
Exactly. I mean, this what's not to love?
Right. And then you go play with the water table.
Yeah.
You kept that away from the electricity stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's a safe distance away. You have towels. People dry off their hands before they go play with the electricity. Carrie, you said also coming up, the winter, spring, after school classes, that's starting the 22nd.
Yeah, the week of January 22nd. And registration for those classes actually opens on Monday. So we're rocking and rolling. There's always something going on.
Yeah. So what are the, I mean, I don't want you to give an exhaustive list because it's a big list. You have lots of different things. But what are some of the options? What can people do with those after school classes?
Sure. A few of them, SciGirls and SciGirls Junior, those are obviously geared towards girls, but we also have, as usual, a lot of robotics, a lot of Legos. It really looks fun. I kind of want to take some of them.
You probably could.
I probably could.
I mean, you have some, you know, you have some pull over there, I think.
I don't know. The kids would know more than I would, so I'll probably just stay away.
So those start on the week of January 22nd, but people can sign up on Monday. Do they do that online? Down at your place or online?
They can do it either way. We've got registration will be open online, so you can check out explorationworks.org to get more information on what classes we're offering and what days and times and age ranges and all that good stuff.
Okay. And how cool is it to see kids get, I mean, I know you're hands-on. That's just sort of the mission of let's let kids put their hands on things and let's learn that way. But these are even more intimate. I mean, because it's a smaller group. There's one-on-one work a little bit. What's it like to sort of see that and to let kids get that experience?
It's the best job in the world. It's so fun to watch kids, you know, pop down, check out a class, and to see kids creating things that I would have never dreamed of doing when I was a kid. So it's really cool. It's awesome.
Well, and something I think is maybe I think is the coolest thing you have out there, frankly, are the Tinker Labs. I don't know why. I think it's unique. I think it's a cool experience for kids. Those happen on Saturdays. This weekend, you're doing some stuff on art. Next weekend is nanoscience.
Right.
I mean, you're jumping from colors and art to nanoscience.
We cover it all. Yes. Yeah. Our Tinker Labs are every Saturday from 12:30 to 2:30. And every weekend, the topic changes. So no two Tinker Labs are ever alike. But
and what is a Tinker Lab? And what does that look like?
It's basically just a hands-on facilitated project. And you learn whatever topic it is. So if it's, you know, pH art or snow slime. You know, we kind of cover all the bases. So
yeah, you guys already missed the snow slime. That was last weekend, right?
Yeah.
So who is that for? Is that designed for a certain age group or?
No, it's really designed for anyone visiting the museum to come and check it out hands-on. It's free if you're a member. So if you're a member, you walk in, you just take part in the Tinker Lab. Otherwise, it's free with daily admission. So if you're not a member, you pay to get in and then you can take part in the Tinker Labs.
And you talk about becoming a member, I guess, because we've got a couple of minutes. How do people go about that and what does that get them?
Well, we've got a bunch of different membership levels, everything from a single parent to a full family membership, grandparent membership, and that gets you access to X-Works any day we're open for free. And we also are a part of a bigger organization called the ASTC. So there's over 300 different museums in North America alone that you can get into for free with your X-Works membership. So it's a really cool thing if you travel. For example, the Pacific Science Center in Seattle, even the Museum of the Rockies in Bozeman, your membership will get you into those museums.
Yeah, we've gone into there with that, and that's a great museum, too. It's a lot of fun to go in there, and you know, this is the largest Tyrannosaurus Rex in the world. It's right here in Bozeman, right? So it's cool to go and look at that stuff, but very cool things happening right here in town. We've got a minute and change left. Matt, what goes into deciding what you're going to do with these exhibits? I mean, who comes up with these ideas? Do you just have mad scientists that sit in the back and think these things up, or is that you?
Yeah, we don't have a large staff of mad scientists. It's kind of me and a couple other people, and we figure out what we have in storage and what we could pull off, and what's going to foster some community involvement too is another piece of it.
So how long is this? This is going to go through May is when this electricity exhibit's going to be up?
And then we'll have a summer exhibit that starts in May.
So when do you have to start thinking of the summer exhibit? Or do you have it in mind already?
That's going to be a rental. It's When the Earth Shakes. It's about earthquakes.
Okay.
And so that one's a rental.
So that's not one you have to build yourself?
No.
Because you're in charge of actually putting these things together. Like you're actually going to be hands-on building this thing next week, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And most of it's built already, but I've spent the last couple months, you know, welding and fabricating and coming up with this stuff.
What's it like for you to see kids then enjoying that and to see adults standing there? And that's got to be really neat.
Yeah. Yeah, I get a kick out of that, especially seeing grandparents playing with kids. And that's and parents playing with the kids, you know, parents putting their cell phones away for a little bit and interacting with the kids and having fun. It's a memorable experience for both of them, and it's fun for me to watch that.
Yeah, it's a lot of cool things. And, guys, I appreciate all that you do out there. There's such cool exhibits out there, and it's such a great thing for the community. And I appreciate you coming in here and filling us in on it.
Thanks for having us again.
Even if I can't put a sentence together this morning. Carrie Gagner, the Marketing and Visitors Service Director at Exploration Works, and Matt Jetty, he's the Exhibits Manager and Mad Scientist that thinks all this stuff up. Or maybe not mad, just eclectic.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah,
take that.
The eclectic scientist that thinks this all up. That's it for Coffee Break. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Coffee Break, brought to you by News Radio 95 KCAP. We'll see you back here again tomorrow.